Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You can't rely on blind faith to get the pregnancy support you deserve. Ritual's Essential Prenatal Multivitamin is the only leading prenatal backed by its own human clinical trial. Essential Prenatal is proven to deliver key nutrients, including folate, biotin, and vitamin D during pregnancy. Get 25% off when you visit ritual.com/clinical. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast on Thursday, the 4th of October, 2018. On the podcast today, I have Joe Badashil, corporate executive at Salt Lake Potash, SO4. And Joe talks about the MOU with a leading fertilizer distribution company in China, Sinovet Holdings. It's a big company. Also on the podcast, Paul Griffiths, Chief Executive Officer of Predator Oil and Gas, PRD is ticker, and Paul provides an operational update on the Trinidad Carbon Dioxide Enhanced Oil Recovery Plan after the initial reservoir engineering assessment. Plus, Neil Ricketts, CEO of Vesarion, and Neil talks about the reason why they've appointed a South Korean representative. Plus, as always, have the list of the top five most followed companies. Always check this out. Very important what people are following. Worth doing some research on those companies. If the company's share price hasn't spiked, of course. Always worth doing research. But you can see that on the front page at foxmarkets.co.uk. I also have a list of the top five most liked RNSs too.
Tired of using different sites to research companies? Vox Markets aggregates key financial details, pricing data, and company news into one place. Find out more at voxmarkets.co.uk/app.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Joe Badashil, corporate executive at Salt Lake Potash. SO4 is the ticker there. Joe, thanks for joining me.
Yeah, good morning, Justin. Thanks for your time, and thanks to all your listeners for tuning in to get an update on Salt Lake Potash again.
And we'll be covering that update, very positive one, an MOU signed, and we'll go into details of that in a bit. Before we do, Joe, for people listening, I know you're sort of newly sort of listed over here, give them a brief summary. Salt Lake Potash, what's it all about, please?
Yeah, Justin, Salt Lake Potash is, I think it's a very, very simple concept. I mean, we are a development company looking to produce sulfate of potash, which is a high-value fertilizer product, low chloride, high potassium, which is very, very suitable for chloride-sensitive crops and fruits, nuts, high-value products that have a very, very strong demand growth profile given the burgeoning middle class in emerging economies. It's a very, very simple process. I mean, everything about this project, I think, is relatively straightforward and not that complex. We dig trenches on these. We have nine salt lakes in Western Australia. Our intention is to dig trenches, only sort of 4 or 5 meter deep trenches. We extract the brines from these salt lakes. We put the brines into evaporation ponds that are built out on the surface of the lakes. And in Western Australia, we then let the sun do the rest of the work, effectively evaporating the brine and precipitating potassium-rich salts, which we then harvest mechanically, which is a very simple process again. Run these salts through a flotation plant to remove the salt, and then a very simple a chemical conversion, which uses about 45 degree temperature, and then we put it through a crystallizer, which is effectively how companies make sugar. So this is all off the shelf technology. It's very, very straightforward, but it's a very high value product. So and we have a significant footprint within Western Australia that enables us to look at building out a substantial and globally significant production base.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's go into the memorandum of understanding with Sinovet. So take us through that, the significance of this. It's a long-term offtake agreement. Take us through the details of this, if you could, Joe.
Yeah, certainly, Justin. Look, I mean, earlier this week, we announced a significant offtake agreement with Sinofert. I mean, and Sinofert is China's largest fertilizer supplier and distributor. We believe this is a real watershed moment for both us and the emerging SOP sector in Australia. China accounts for 40% of global fruit and vegetable production, and both produces and consumes half of the world's sulfate of potash, or SOP. So we see it as a critical market for the volumes of SOP that we plan to produce and export. In our view, there is no better partner in China than Sinofert. The company is majority owned by Sinochem, which is a major state-owned enterprise with a massive presence, not just in fertilizers, but across the whole agricultural supply chain. Last year, Sinofert handled about 13 million tons of fertilizers, including just under 4 million tons of potash. And as a partnership, as a management team, I mean, we've told all the investors that, you know, we have assiduously pursued sales and offtake partnerships with only the very best blue chip companies, and we now believe that between Sinofert and Mitsubishi, we have the major distribution components of our plan in place, and we believe this gives us the ability to really turbocharge this exciting new Australian industry that we're involved with.
Yeah, so this so the demonstration plant, you're looking to produce, what, 50,000 tonnes per annum, is that correct?
That's correct, 50,000 tonnes per annum. And of the two offtake agreements we have, so Mitsubishi have signed up for 50% of the demonstration plant, and Sinofert have signed up for 50% of, and slightly different wording, they've signed up for 50% of production from the Goldfield Salt Lake project, which is essentially the entire project, and they've signed up for an 8-year time frame, commencing in early 2020.
Yeah, so it's starting production when, early 2020, are you?
Look, I mean, that's still a work in progress, Justin. I mean, we at the moment have a scoping study on the demonstration plant, but I mean, I've been involved in the mining industry for 25 years, and you know, our scoping study is 695 pages and weighs 2.5 kilos when it's printed out, and not that that's meaningful, but you know, it is one of the most advanced scoping studies I've seen. So what we want to do, or what we need to do, is we need to convert that into a feasibility study. So that will be done between now and the end of the year, which then gives us the ability to really take this thing forward and you know, that is, having a feasibility study also obviously then assists with funding the project as well.
Yeah, and I'm just looking at the scoping study. So based on that, you're saying what total costs are just below 400 Australian dollars a ton, and hopefully selling for around 670. Is that right?
Well, look, I mean, yeah, you know, I think we've used some fairly conservative sales prices in our studies. They were probably suitable until about 3 weeks ago, when both the Chinese and the Indians signed up prices for next year's MOP contracts. So now those SOP prices look a little bit conservative. I mean, at the moment, SOP is selling for sort of $550, $560 US a ton. So in terms of Australian dollars, obviously it's a little bit higher.
Yeah. And so, I mean, you say this is a demonstration plant, 50,000 tons. So what's the potential here? Because you've got a lot of lakes going on there, a lot of assets there and prospects, haven't you?
Oh, look, indeed. I mean, you know, until earlier this year, our primary project was actually Lake Wells, where we, in fact, we've just signed a cooperation agreement there with our neighbour, Australian Potash, which is very positive as well. The bulk of our work was done there, primarily because that was the lake that was first permitted from an exploration perspective. We subsequently moved to Lake Way because of this joint venture we have, well, we're in the process of putting in place with Blackham Resources, because they have a mining lease, which just helped us fast track the project. Mm-hmm. But in terms of overall volume, I mean, we have a scoping study for Lake Wells that demonstrated the ability to get to 400,000 tons of product for about 270 million Australian dollars of capital, with an operating cost below $200 a ton. So, you know, that's just from one lake. We've now moved to Lake Way to do the demonstration plant. Look, I mean, at the moment, Justin, we're working on a 50,000 ton per annum demonstration plant, with sort of, you know, intending at this point first production. We would expect that in early 2020. Mm-hmm. It's our intention to run that plant for 12 months. Just to get the product into the market, get customer acceptance for the product, But also in the, within that time frame, we would look at then doing or scheduling what is the next stage, and potentially the next stage is an expansion of the Lake Way project. I mean, we think that could support a 200,000 ton per annum project. So if you've got 200 from Lake Way, you know, and then potentially 400 from Lake Wells, and that's just two lakes. So we have multiple lakes. We have nine lakes. We don't believe, you know, we don't want to go out there and ramp up to a million tons straight away, because obviously it's a 6.5 million ton per annum market. So a million tons is not ideal initially, but we think this project could sit somewhere between 500,000 and a million tons.
Wow, that's, you've got a lot of runway there to look at. That's good. Excellent stuff. Well, listen, Joe, if someone's, you know, listening to you here about these, talking about these projects, likes the sound of it, likes the offtake agreements, but are not yet following the story, give them those three quick reasons why they should hit that follow button on your page on Vox Markets and add you to their watch list, please.
Certainly, Justin. I mean, three reasons we believe investors should follow the story, the Salt Lake story. I mean, firstly, we believe we're in the process of building the world's most sustainable fertilizer project that we believe will reward investors with substantial value creation. SO4 is a clean, green, and sustainable company. I mean, and that's a potent mix for investors in today's environment. Secondly, with our nine lakes, the company's Goldfield Salt Lake project is large and expandable, with numerous options for both development and potential fertilizer products that will add further value to shareholders. And finally, between now and the end of 2019, we intend to construct and commission a demonstration plant at Lake Way that will lead to first output and sales of SOP in early 2020. Subsequently, this upcoming period is likely to see regular news flow and updates that we believe will lead to increased liquidity and a significant valuation uplift for investors.
Excellent stuff, Joe. It's good to chat to you. And you've got lots going on there, so hopefully we'll be catching up in the not-too-distant future. Thank you very much.
I certainly hope so. Thanks for your time, Justin.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Paul Griffiths, CEO of Predator Oil and Gas. That's PRD ticker. Paul, thanks for joining me.
Hello, Justin. Good to be here.
Now, you've had an operations update on your Trinidad assets there. And, of course, you've got two sort of separate parts. You've got assets in Ireland, prospective gas assets in Ireland, and also in Trinidad. But that's, I suppose, more current, or the lead sort of program at the moment. But I'll leave it to you, Paul. I've just sort of done it. But, I mean, for people not aware of the company, because you're quite relatively new to the market, give them a brief summary of what you're all about, please.
Yeah, well, we're all about trying to produce oil from injecting CO2, carbon dioxide, Trinidad for cash flow, and a bit of blue sky in Ireland in terms of looking for gas and exploring gas around the Corrib gas field and the Kinsale gas field. So that's the two areas of focus.
Yeah, okay. And in Trinidad, it's a well-known oil-producing area, but we know they've had the issues of late because lots of fields are maturing, and Petrotrin has had a bit of an overhaul, and there's stuff going on there. So take us through why you're doing CO2 EOR and what it is, if you could, Paul, and then go into the highlights of what you've found so far.
Well, I think yesterday's announcement was a bit of industry jargon in the sense that we talked about initial reservoir engineering assessment. But the five kind of key messages, you know, shareholders should take away from that, prospective investors, is firstly that independently validated our decision to go into CO2 EOR in Trinidad before anybody else thought of it in the recent times. Secondly, we can get a big production uplift of at least six times what the wells are currently producing in these older, mature fields. So that's a big positive. Thirdly, we're targeting 300 barrels a day early next year, which should be achievable from just two wells. So there's 86 wells in the whole field, many of which are available for CO2 EOR operations. Fourthly, the amount of CO2 we're injecting is about two-thirds of what we actually projected initially, so that makes the cost per barrel come down by about $2 to $3 a barrel in terms of operating costs. And lastly, of course, the capital costs have now come down significantly, about 50% of what we budgeted for, which leaves lots more free cash to expand this and grow the CO2 EOR over time to increase production.
So that was an excellent sort of finding or update there, wasn't it? Because essentially, 300 barrels of oil per day is quite conservative. The costs are under what you thought. So it's all positive, isn't it?
It's all positive. It's a small amount of investment in relative terms in technical studies, but the product you get from that is incrementally much larger in terms of value for the company. You know?
Yeah. And you're saying, apparently, net back after taxes or cost of forecast be in the range of 10 to 12 bucks per barrel, is that right?
We've conservatively estimated it at we have estimated it at $10 to $12 a barrel. But there's room to improve that for sure at current oil prices. But even at that sort of level, if you talk about 300 barrels a day, and we have the ability to upscale that pretty quickly to 450 barrels a day, and ultimately maybe 2,000 barrels a day, based on new information we've had from the CO2 supplier about what it can potentially supply next year. So you add all that up, and then you're creating cash flow of maybe up to $7 million net cash flow a year. So that's the prize if the CO2 pilot is successful, as we fully anticipate.
Yeah, so that, I mean, like you said, you've forecast this on two wells, and there are 84 wells that could have potential.
Yeah, 84 other wells, 86 wells in the field, and we're producing from potentially from these two wells. So of those other 84 wells, even if you say took 50% of them as being suitable for CO2 EOR injection and production, you can see potentially what the uplift is in terms of production from those wells, providing you have the CO2 supply, which we anticipate having during next year.
Yeah, and you reckon you'll start doing this obviously, hopefully starting around about 300 barrels in Q1, is that right?
Yeah, that's the target. We think that's achievable, but you always have to modify your targets, hopefully upwards in this case, because we've been very conservative, once you start getting information from the actual operations. So it's going to be a continually evolving process during 2019. But the potential to add more wells is the critical thing in terms of building the production profile very, very rapidly. And this involves no new drilling. I mean, that's the beauty of the whole operation, is that it's a relatively cheap and easy operation on the surface to perform.
Yeah, okay. And just a quick, because if people are listening now, like I say, you haven't been listed long, so there are people still sort of unfamiliar with the company. I know you've gained a lot of traction in a short space of time, because the share price has done over 300%, but it's pulled back a little bit, so providing maybe more opportunity. But like you mentioned earlier, there are also blue sky opportunities in Ireland. You've got licenses of over two fields there with massive potential. So maybe summarise those, if you could, and tell us where you are with them, if you could, Paul.
Well, basically, both these areas in Ireland are close to existing gas infrastructure, the Shell gas field, which is Shell's just sold their interest, and the Kinsale gas field. So it means if you have gas on those licences, and one of the licences in the Celtic Sea, we have gas proven on them, the one next to Corrib exploration, it means that you can monetise a successful well very quickly, which is the key for big companies in terms of looking at Ireland's potential, is they want to monetize a discovery very, very quickly. They don't want to be waiting 6 years, 10 years to develop it. So this offers a great opportunity for the bigger companies to look at these bigger gas resources with a view to monetizing them early, and that makes it much more attractive for farminees. They can see a pathway to making money out of the project. So from our point of view, we have these as operator, and we're talking to a number of parties, and we're moving along with successor authorizations over the next 6 months in terms of the Celtic Sea. And we've already applied for a frontier exploration license in Ireland, which we hope will be awarded very, very soon.
Yeah, yeah. And so the Ramhead prospect, you said, they are contingent, aren't they?
They are contingent resources. It's discovered gas, but it was never tested at the time. It was logged, and it's proven in the well by Marathon a number of years ago, but they never tested it because there was no gas market in Ireland at that time and no export market to the UK at that time. So it's exciting because we're using the same technology that I used to de-risk the Tendrara reservoirs onshore Morocco, and everybody knows what a success story that turned out for Sound Energy. So we're using the same technology to work out what the deliverability of gas could be from these reservoirs. And then we plan to go ahead and seek another 12 months on the licensing option to effectively bring in partners, to complete the process of bringing in partners, and ultimately to drill it, hopefully, in 2020.
Yeah. Okay. Well, listen. Your share price had a heck of a rally, but of course, it started from a very low base. So it's
It started from a very low base, but it's still very much undervalued. And in terms of the potential news flow we've got coming through over the next 6 months, well, we haven't had a huge amount of news flow up until now, but we've tried to make it very comprehensive so that shareholders understand what we're doing and they understand the potential, rather than just pouring out news flow for the sake of news flow. The early stages about educating our shareholders in terms of what the longer, medium and short term potential of the company are.
Yeah, well, listen, let's summarize that in three quick reasons. I mean, people listening right now, if they like the sound of what you're doing, but not following the story, okay. Paul, give them three quick reasons why they should hit that follow button on your page on Vox and add you to their watch list, please.
Right. One is we're still undervalued based on the potential of Trinidad to generate cash and the exciting blue sky we got offering our shareholders in Ireland for the gas story. Secondly, your CEO backs the company by the highest possible amount of equity. I own nearly half the company. You tell me another AIM-listed or public-listed company where the CEO owns such a large chunk of the company. And as part of that, I'm looking for even harder to grow the market cap of the company over the next few months. And thirdly, a successful CO2 EOR pilot in Trinidad would be transformational for us and would firmly put us in the public eye as a pioneer producer in Trinidad. And that's great for news flow and also great for the company's credibility.
Marvellous stuff. Well, the following is going quite well because I'm looking at the chart of your followers and it's looking like a bit like your share price, but it hasn't come back down, it's just going up. So you're doing very well, Paul. So listen, thanks for the update and hopefully we'll catch up in the not too distant future. Thanks very much, Paul.
That's great. Thanks very much for that.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Neil Rickett, CEO of Vsarion. VRS is the ticker there. Neil, thanks for joining me.
Good morning, Justin. It seems like ages.
Yeah, it does. If it's more than the week, it's like ages. Believe it or not, there are some people out there who may not be familiar with what you do. So, new investors all the time, and it's always good to sort of get them on the right page. So, Vsarion, summarise it, please.
Yes, so Vsarion, created in 2011, it's an innovative materials company. We are working with UK universities to take their great technologies and turn them into products that we as consumers can use on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, and I suppose you've got to be one of the best performing stocks, share price-wise, out of all of AIM, pretty much in the last couple of years. I'm looking from the 30th of October, 2017, you were 14 pence, and now you're 172, you've been up at 187, so that's nice. And I've got to say, I've been along for the ride as well, so I've enjoyed it. But really impressive, share price performance. And I suppose the excitement is based around graphene, because we don't know how many industries or sectors it'll impact. It seems to have the ability to impact every kind of sector positively. But you're talking about now today the appointment of a South Korean representative. So what's the deal here, Neil?
It's about grabbing land. So we're in a race, we're in a competition, and we need to be in as many places as possible as quickly as we can with people that we can reliably trust that are going to do a great job. And in this particular instance, we've been able to do that. It's one of Matt's contacts. It's someone that Matt's worked with previously, got a lot of respect. And we're keen to get going in Korea. I went out there a couple of years ago. Andrew Deakin went out last year. And we know that there's huge opportunities for us. So as well as what's going on in China and the US, this is another territory that we're looking at doing some work in.
Yeah. Well, it's pretty worth explaining who Matt is.
Matt Walker is a secondee from the Department of International Trade, and he's joined by his colleague Peter Jay. So now Peter's looking after China, and I got myself in trouble with a shareholder a while ago that I said I wouldn't go on holiday unless China was sorted. Mm-hmm. And the reason for that was because I knew that we'd secured Matt coming on board, and yeah, he's done a great job. We went from having a single deal signed in February this year to having over 30 now. And that figure is going up all the time. And it gives you some indication of exactly how important these guys are for our business and how they've increased our workload. And now we're reaching out. So, you know, this appointment is really, really key to us. And, you know, you need that local contact, that local culture. And we can leverage against the government assets, the embassy, and the consulate, in order to be able to get in touch with all of these companies that we've been working with for a while.
Yeah, so you've appointed Rachel Yeong-mi Kim, and South Korea, they're quite forward thinking tech wise, aren't they?
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, I've got to be honest, when you're kind of driving, I'm sat in a service station at the moment, and you kind of feel like we're kind of a little bit behind when you go to places like Korea. You know, we're talking about, you know, rolling out 4G still, and they've rolled out 5G, and they've got, you know, public Wi-Fi, which is quicker than most people have at home, you know, and it's a culture based on technology, and that's why LG have done so well, and Samsung, and all of these big companies in that kind of environment. And, you know, we have to be there. And it's the same as California. We have to be there. We have to get in touch with these companies. Now we know what we've got and how, and we're getting some credibility and reliability and repeatability and all of these things. And it's really exploding for us. So our guys are all over the world at the moment. So, it's really, really interesting times.
Marvellous stuff. Okay, well, one final thing, Neil, if someone's listened to this for the first time and they're liking the sound of the story here but are not following you yet, give them those three quick reasons why they should hit that follow button on your page and add you to their watch list, please.
So I think the first reason that you should watch us is that this is a very exciting area. It's like another industrial revolution happening. It's the cutting edge of science and technology as it stands at the moment. It's going to impact our whole lives. Second thing is the level of connections and contacts that we've assembled over the last couple of years, both within central government and within the University of Cambridge and the University of Manchester, is unparalleled. And the third thing is that I'm the largest shareholder, and therefore all of my aspirations and motivation is aligned with those of the long-term holders.
Excellent stuff. Well, Neil, I don't know when we'll talk next, because I know you don't put out much news, and it may be 6 months soon now, but I look forward to chatting to you again in the not-too-distant future. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Justin.
Okay, it's time for the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. You can find the top 10 at voxmarkets.co.uk. And like I said, it's a hugely important measure of almost money flow, this list. You know, it's what people don't follow stocks just for the fun of it. They follow it because they're either rising, they're investing in them, they're doing research on them. So check them out. In fact, just tied at five, it's Predator Oil and Gas, that's PRD, and Block Energy, BLOE. At four, Armadale Capital, ACP. I nearly forgot the ticker there, even though I wrote a blog about them on the weekend. At three, Union Jack Oil, UJO. Of course, I had David Bramall on the podcast yesterday. At two, Cradle Arc, that's CRA ticker. Took a massive hit of late. I think down about, was it 40% yesterday, the share price? And maybe that's why people are jumping in there. Number one, it's getting a lot of coverage of late on social media. It's Alpha Growth. That's ALGW. It's one of those ones that got away. I did research on it. I quite liked it. And tiny market cap, so it was in my space there. And I didn't invest. And it's gone up in value massively in the last couple of days. ALGW. Okay, top five most liked RNSs come from, at five, Solo Oil, Kilowani North update. At four, I've had Neil on the podcast just now, Vasari, an appointment of South Korea representatives. At three, it's Metal Tiger, Botswana Copper Silver Project, A4 Dome intersection update. At two, Angus Energy, Holdings and Company. And number one most liked RNS came from Europa Metals, Toral Project update. That's EUZ, of course. That's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Muchos apreciados.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You can't rely on blind faith to get the pregnancy support you deserve. Ritual's Essential Prenatal Multivitamin is the only leading prenatal backed by its own human clinical trial. Essential Prenatal is proven to deliver key nutrients, including folate, biotin, and vitamin D during pregnancy. Get 25% off when you visit ritual.com/clinical. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.